Well, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. We are going to start a new little mini series, I guess, for a couple, 3 weeks. Going to be talking about a few of the Psalms. Haven't really done this. Going to be kind of exegetical messages. Going to kind of break them down a little bit and see what we can glean from these. So the first thing we're going to look at is Psalms 34 today. Psalms chapter 34. And it's a Psalm of David. David wrote many Psalms about things that was going on in his life. Some of you I know probably journal and things like that. I guess I don't really do that sort of thing. But it's kind of good to kind of talk to God from your heart. And really that's what he was doing here. He was just kind of letting some things out, that some things that he wanted to say and things that he wanted to maybe praise the Lord for and just kind of some problems that were going on in his life. How many have that going on? You got some things to praise for and then you got some things that are problems in your life. So how those things kind of work together. So starting that off is, you know, sometimes have you ever felt like, you know, things are just not working out like you thought they were? I don't know if you ever do self-assessments or not. I do those periodically every now and then just to kind of see where I'm at, see if I'm still going the direction I'm supposed to be going and seeing where if I'm, you know, need to maybe make some modifications. Now, at this time when David wrote this psalm, he was going through some things in his life that was very difficult. You know, he had had a promise from God when he was a young boy about his future, but the present wasn't really lining up what was going on in his life. And that's kind of what happens. We have those promises and then things going on. And it's times when we know the promise, but yet we're not there yet and some things are going different. It's times like that when our faith gets a little bit stretched, right? And that's okay. You know, it's okay to be stretched because it's a good thing. Because, you know, God likes us to be comfortable, but not too comfortable that we don't really need him anymore. And we need to, you know, stay and trust him. See, when our present circumstances don't line up with our future promise, trust the promise more than our reality. And that's what we need to do. And that's the hard part. The hard part is living this Christian life sometimes. I know about grace. How many know about grace? Amen. We all know what God's grace is, and you know, but to me it's not a case sera sera moment. Whatever will be, will be. But it's an empowerment time that we overcome these things. And I do know that as we're down here on this planet living this life for God, knowing what the Word says, but then also knowing what our circumstances say. So somehow we have to try to jive these two things together and just figure out how we can overcome and to get to the place where God wants us to be. And everybody has that problem. Don't think that when you're going through something that you're the only one, because that's just the lie of the devil. The devil wants us to think that, you know, we're a failure and we're not good enough and we just don't have faith and all these different things going on. See, that's one of his tactics that he tries to use. Because, you know, sadly, sometimes we come in these doors and we got our church face on. Glory to God, right? How you doing today? I'm blessed. You know what I mean? But it hurt to say that because I don't feel blessed. So I believe in positive confession, but I also believe in the fact that, you know, sometimes we just got to be real and know that, hey, we need prayer, and that's why we come here. We don't come here to get entertained, amen. We come here to get help. That's what we go to church for. Church is not entertainment, even though it's turned that way in our country. You know, if you got the best band and the best lights and all these different things, you know, then things are, you know, everybody thinks, well, that must be God. Well, maybe it is, maybe it ain't. Maybe it's just flesh being flesh is what it is. So the thing about church is that we need to see that we're a family and that, you know, God knows that every now and then family members hurt and family members need help, and that's what we need to do. Okay, we're going to kick this off, and I'm going to break them down. We're not going to go through the whole psalm. I picked a few verses that I thought would kind of help us today. The first part is found in Psalms chapter 34, verse 1 to 3. And David starts this out. Now, just a little background, I just want to say this, that David's hard time, what was happening, I never had this happen in my life, but David was being pursued by Saul and his army. Have you ever had an army chasing you? I mean, what would that be like? You know, I mean, just, but that's what was happening. David was a good guy. He was a man who respected authority. There is no evil in his heart in the sense that he believed that Saul was the king. He was God's anointed, and God had put him there. I mean, this is how David looked at it, and that he was going to do everything that he could to support that king, meaning he went out to battle and, you know, beat up on the enemy, the Philistines, and things like this, and just a great support to his, technically, his father-in-law. Because David went out and did a little battle. I won't go into all that, but he ended up winning the hand of Saul's daughter, you know, which wasn't that big a prize, you know. Her attitude wasn't that great sometimes. But, you know, then, and his reward for being such a support to the king considered him a threat. Have you ever had somebody in your life? I've had this several times in my life where somebody considered me a threat. Just for me being me. And so then they did what they could to speak evil of me and maybe persecute me. Well, this is what David was doing. Mine was nowhere near what David was going through because, you know, if they caught him, they were going to kill him. Because Saul wanted his son Jonathan to become king, which was David's best friend. They just loved each other. But Jonathan knew in his heart that David was the next king. But Saul was chasing David because he wanted to exterminate him, because all because the people in the crowds were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000s. Well, that threatened Saul's insecurity, which we went into last year. In 2025, we talked about Saul and his insecurities and how that affected him as being a leader. So that's kind of where this is picking up here. David's out here fleeing for his life, and he has... Not only is it just him, I mean, it's one thing, you could hide in a cave or something all by yourself. You'd probably get by for a while. But he had all these people he was caring for. He had his own family, plus he had, what, I think around 600 people, warriors that were with him, and they were following him, and he had to take care of that family and then be responsible for all these people. Well, it's one thing to hide one person, but if you're hiding, you know, probably 1,000 people that were followers, counting wives and children and all this stuff, well, that'd be another little deal, wouldn't it? A little more responsibility. And so that's kind of what was going on here. And so we see that, you know, that's what David was going through. And so Psalms 34 starts off saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for a special stirring in each of our hearts, Lord, that we know that you have a better plan for our life than we could ever dream of. And Lord, we want to follow that plan. We want to live our life to bring glory to your name and to follow you with all our heart. Lord, we know that sometimes things come against us, but Lord, we will not stumble. We will not give up. And Lord, we will not fail, but we're going to walk in faith and follow you. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. See, given everything that David was going through, I think that sometimes it's hard to feel like praising the Lord when we really feel like just complaining about our circumstances. Have you ever felt that way? You know, I mean, from my perspective, what I go through sometimes is the fact that I know what the answer is. I know what I'm supposed to be doing because, you know, I've been a Christian for 40 years probably or so, ever since 1985. So you add it up. Somebody got a calculator out there. I don't know, but it's been a while. But anyway, yeah, well, it's been over 40 years because I've been married 40 years. And I got saved before I got married, praise God. Anyway, I'm glad about that part. I probably wouldn't have been a very good husband before I became a Christian, looking back. But anyway, you know, you just learn some things. And then it reminds me of the story of the Apostle Paul and Silas when they went out preaching the gospel. And I always get a kick out of the fact this was Silas's first mission trip. you know, because Paul and Barnabas kind of got in a little fuss about John Mark, and, you know, so they split up, and here they were, the dynamic duo, Miss Mission Team, and, you know, here they got in the spirit or in the flesh, I guess, and they got mad at each other, and they put that in the Bible. I would have left that part out if I was telling the story, but anyway, about me, you know, but anyway, they did that, and then all of a sudden, they preached the gospel, and then they got thrown in prison. And before they got thrown in prison, when they got thrown in there, they got beaten with rods. I leave that part out. That sounds kind of painful. Well, they were down there in prison, and they started singing praises to God. You know, they could have quoted, you know, Jesus and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, I've given up everything. I've followed you. We went on this mission trip, Lord, and, you know, I've went here and I've given everything up, and I just want to follow you, and now you let this happen to me. Because we all know God could have delivered them out of it. But we know what happened is God delivered them through it. And sometimes that's just the way it works, whether we like it or not. And they started to praise God, even in pain. And I'll tell you what, I've had some times in my life when I felt so sick I couldn't pray, at least in faith anyway. I could have said the words, but I'm just not feeling it. Have you ever had that? I'm just not feeling it right now. So what do you do? Do you wait for your feelings to catch up with your faith? Well, that will work, but it's going to take a while. Or we can do what, you know, Paul and Silas did. They start praising even when they don't feel like it. Amen? And that's kind of what this is talking about. David, in the midst of his circumstances, you know, here Paul is, you know, sometimes is breathing right down his neck. I mean, one time Saul even caught him in the cave. And David, his men were hiding in the cave, and Saul came in to go to the bathroom. And they had him dead to rights, but David respected him, you know. And just a lot of, you could go on and on about this story. It's just amazing. But, you know, I know that every time, you know, especially coming to persuasion of, you know, we believe in faith and all these things, but, you know, the fact is that sometimes we want delivered out of our situation, but God wants to deliver us through that situation. And that's just what we have to accept sometimes. I'm not opposed. We always should try to be delivered out of it. That's just part of the faith walk and, you know, wanting to overcome and live that overcoming life. But, you know, just because circumstances and situations don't work out the way we want, are we going to throw in the towel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, they was there, and about before they was going to throw in, they prayed a prayer. God, you know, even if you don't deliver us out, we're going to follow you. That's just the way it is. That's what you call anchoring faith. Faith that is not moved by situations and circumstances. Faith is not moved by feelings or anything that the world says or anybody around them. But it's a faith that trusts in God and His promises. And you're willing to even die for that faith. And that's the kind of faith that we need sometimes. We need to have that. The scripture also talks about the idea of how God talks about helping the humble and how we need to be the humble, hear it, and rejoice. You know, walking in a life of humility. Now, humility is talking about meek and not weak. You know, sometimes we make the mistake of the fact that we think humility means that somebody is weak. You know, back before I even got saved, you know, they had those Jesus movies, you know, on. And whenever they did those Jesus movies, they always made Jesus out to be kind of a wimp, you know what I mean? Some skinny guy up there just kind of don't have any strength at all. And just, you know, just not very picturing the Son of God, in my opinion. You know, to me, Jesus was a man. He was a man's man. You know, he knew what had to be done, and he went and did it, and he would not let anything get in his way. And so, I don't know, as a kid, most of you probably won't get this analogy, but when I was a kid, this guy, he's probably passed away now, Wally Cox. He was one of the stars on TV, and he was this little wimpy guy. You know, kind of reminds me of this. Oh, wow, I'm really chunning rabbits now. When I was a kid, at noon, All-Star Wrestling used to come on. You know, I don't watch it anymore. It's just not something I'm into. But back then, they had this little dude called Ringo. Y'all, anybody remember him, Ringo? Well, you knew when Ringo showed up, he was going to get tossed around the ring the whole time. He was just a little guy. You got these big guys, muscles just everywhere. And they would just throw him around the ring for like 5 minutes, and then he'd just pin him. And you just knew that that's what was going to happen. Ringo was not going to win this battle. Ringo, to my knowledge, that I had ever seen, ever won a match. They just threw him in there for entertainment. And see, that's what sometimes the world wants to do to us. They want to throw this in there for entertainment, you know, for the devil and everything. But we don't do that. Amen? You know, so humility doesn't mean you're a wimp. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, just take everything that comes at you and accept it. You can resist. You can resist the things of the devil. Then it goes on to talks about magnifying the Lord, and we know what that means. You know, when you magnify the Lord, it means to make God bigger than our problems. You know, these are all things that we can practice. It's not stuff that just doesn't happen naturally all the time. You know, but when a problem starts to come our way, sometimes we end up being like the 10 instead of the 2. You know, nobody wants to be the 10 instead of the 2. You know, the 12 spies that went into the promised land to look around, 10, when they went in, all they could see was the giants. But the 2, Caleb and Joshua, well, all they could see was the promise. It didn't matter how big the giants were because they knew their God was bigger. And see, we forget that sometimes. Our God is bigger than all our problems and bigger than all our fears. Remember that song? You sing that as a chorus, I think. But anyway, so it's all about perspective. Perspective is everything on where you want to see, how you see things. Because we are all sitting here today, and we can look at the same thing going on, and sometimes we're going to get several different perspectives on what's really happening. You know what I mean? We can look at it and we can see different things. And it all depends upon our vantage point. Where are we sitting right now? Are we with Christ? Or are we struggling down with the world and its system? It all depends where we're placed and where we are. And how we need to always keep that proper perspective. To me, one of the best seats is right up there in the catwalk right there. You ever go up there and look around? Some of you probably never been up there in your life. But looking down, it's really cool. You know, you get a different vantage point. The higher you get, you can see more clearly. And see, that's what we have to see, is we need to see more clearly and see what God's doing. So when we magnify the Lord, we're making God bigger than our problems. And then it talks about exalting His name together. You know, here we do that. We exalt God's name together. And to me, that's talking about not getting isolated. You know, don't allow yourself to get cut from the herd and to go out there and be isolated where you're more vulnerable to the things of the enemy. Because that's what he wants to do. See, there's strength in numbers. And so, if we allow ourselves not to get isolated, we find strength, because don't pull back, but press on through. There's times when you're going through things that really hurt, that the last thing you want to do is maybe be around other people. You don't want to be around, you know, people that are maybe happy, because you're going through so much sadness right now. But see, that's what we need to be around, to be able to get us through. Don't allow yourself to get pulled back, because the fact of the matter is when we stay connected, we stay strong. And this, for me, is something that I had to learn, sometimes the hard way, and sometimes I need to keep reminding myself, because I was raised to be very independent. I didn't need anybody. If somebody told me, you can't do that, you know what I would do? Even if it killed me or cost me everything, I would try to prove them wrong. because I knew that I somehow could do it. I just believed I could. And so that cut me away from the church. I didn't think I needed the church. And so I kind of did my own thing. Well, not a lot of success in that long term. I maybe had a few moral victories, I thought, in my life, but it never panned out, never worked out. And so that's the purpose of church, is staying connected so we can stay strong, so we can iron sharpens iron and minister to each other and encourage each other and help each other to stay strong. Next verse we can look at is in Psalms 34, verse 4. David said here, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Okay, there's something that sometimes comes in. Fear is more than a word, isn't it? Fear is a feeling. You know, when fear comes into our life and it makes us not maybe operate to the best of our ability. You know, if we're afraid, we usually make mistakes. When you're afraid, you make mistakes. You know, back when I moved to Denver, one of the reasons I went out there, because I liked to ski, and I wasn't very good looking at it. I mean, I didn't have a great form, but I sure did go fast. And one thing I learned, and it's not totally foolproof, but I had something in my head that if you don't get afraid, you won't fall. Because me and my friend were competitive, and if you fell down, that was a mark against you. That was a strike, and we kept track of who didn't fall the most, you know. But one thing I did find out is that when I got to that position of fear because I was going too fast or maybe I was getting real close to a tree, I would get afraid and I would usually fall every time. So fear does affect us. It affects our potential. It affects how we operate in this world. And if we're in constant fear, you know, it's a thing that will cause us to make a mistake. Now, the word fear here in the Hebrew that David was going through, it's a little more than just your average fear. It actually is translated many times as terror, that kind of fear, when you're just terribly afraid. It's the kind of fear like a deer in headlights fear. It just takes over you and just manifests away. And see, that's a thing of the devil to try to get us to fail. So as we seek the Lord, what we need to do is to face down our fears. It talks about, David said, I sought the Lord. And so many times we have those deepest fears, and what we do to overcome that, we just need to seek the Lord. I know that sounds cliche, but I will say this, that your mind technically can't think about two things at the same time. You can't think of two things at the same time because your mind is created to focus on a thing. Now, granted, when you're, like, if you're reading the Bible, have you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden your mind goes somewhere else and all of a sudden you're over here and you're about a half a page away from where you last checking in with God and then all of a sudden you're over here? You see, you think you read it, but you didn't. I mean, your mind, but it didn't register because you was focused on maybe something that entered your mind. And see, that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to get us to focus on those things. But it says when we seek the Lord, when we focus on the Lord, and we put our eye on Him, that is when we can overcome those fears in our life, whatever they may be. And, you know, fear manifests in different ways, anxiety and whatever the case may be. I mean, all those things are under our feet. And that's where they need to stay, is under our feet. Jesus Christ defeated those at the cross, and we can live that overcoming life. You know, and when sometimes when you're afraid, you know, sometimes, you know, we get afraid when we got to make a decision about something. Maybe it's a job career decision. Maybe who should I marry? Maybe who should I bury? No, that's not one, is it? That kind of rhymes, so I went with it. But anyway, you know, where should I move? Should I go? And, you know, all these different things. So those decisions can be hard sometimes to focus on and to make that right decision. And they can somewhat overwhelm us. And that's what David was going through. He was out here in the wilderness, and he had an army chasing after him, wanting to kill him. And not only that, but David was a good shepherd, remember? And David was caring for all these other people, and he had to worry about them. And so all these things were just weighing on him, and he needed direction. And sometimes we get afraid when we don't know what to do. You know what I mean? I don't know what to do. And so then we allow that unknown, that nagging feeling to start to overwhelm us and overtake us. And that's when we need to go back to what David said, I sought the Lord. And just stay on that, and God will reveal it to us. Next passage, Psalms 34:8-10. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. Here's talking about provision in our life. Sometimes this is a fear that comes in. Talks about taste and see of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So what do? You know, I remember just some people I talked to, ministered to them, trying to get them, you know, saved and into Jesus and stuff. And they tell me, I tried Jesus. Didn't work. I said, then you didn't try very hard. You know, you don't try, you taste. When you taste something, you experience it, don't you? You can, you know, just think about something when you put it in your mouth and you just get you experience what that really is and what that tastes like. Now, it's not just an intellectual interaction, but it's a deep experience, you know, especially if it's something good or something bad. It can be a real bad experience the other way, right? You know, I better not do that. I'm going to talk about my wife's first attempt at turkey casserole when I was we had fish one time. That was a rough one. We don't have any oceans here in Iowa, so I'm not much on fish. I know a lot of people like fish, but we had baked fish one time, and it was right after we was married, and it was rough. It was brutal, you know, and I tasted it, and it wasn't good, and my wife said the same thing. She said, yeah, this ain't very good, is it? So I guess that's why some people deep fry it. You know, they batter it and I don't know. But she has made some, we've had some good fish since then, but we don't eat it too much. But see, when I explain things, you could probably remember a time you ate fish that wasn't very good. See, you can't just take somebody's word for it. Would you prefer if I said, man, I had, you know, we had a good steak last night, and, you know, I like my medium rare, and you could just taste the, you know, the juiciness of it, wasn't dried out at all, had a beautiful beef taste, didn't have to put anything on it. I mean, if you have to put steak sauce on a steak, it's not a steak. There's something wrong with it. You have to cover the taste of a steak. But would you settle for taking my word for it? Or would you say, hey, I want to taste that myself? You know? Would you just settle for somebody telling you about it? Or maybe steak's not your thing. Maybe you're into ice cream. Or pizza. Whatever the case may be. I mean, would you just settle for somebody telling you it and say, yeah. Yeah, it must be good. Yeah, they said so. If I'm going to recommend something to somebody, I'm going to eat it myself. And I can recommend God to anybody. Because I have tasted, and the Lord is good. And that's talking about when you taste is talking about actively pursuing him. Meaning, what I like to say is commit yourself to a time of seeking. You know, yes, we have to have sanctified time. A time when we push away maybe from the table or push away from the TV or whatever thing that we're into and just get alone with God and experience Him. Yeah, it takes a little effort on our part, but it's worth it. Actively pursuing Him, immersing yourself in Him. You know, take our refuge and trust in Him as our deliverer, because He is our deliverer. Then it talks about something, I've used this for the offerings, but it talks about young lions suffering hunger. See, a young lion doesn't know how to hunt yet. It has to learn how to hunt. So it'll go out looking for food, and, you know, I've watched shows, and it talks, mentioned, I can't remember the number now, but what percentage of hunts are successful, where they actually get the prey versus it getting away. And, you know, young lions, their percentage isn't that good because they haven't experienced what it means to be a good hunter yet. They don't have the agility or ability maybe to do what's necessary. And see, it's like that because, but then it says, you know, those who experience the Lord shall not want for any good thing. See, experienced seekers are not in want of any good thing. See, there's a benefit and there's a reward, shall we say, that if we do our due diligence and spend time with the Lord and learn how to maybe master the art of following Christ, because it does. It takes a little effort. It takes a little learning. It's a learning curve. Everybody might be a little different. You know, what works for you may not work for me. Some of you can put on praise music and you just, boom, you're there. Other people maybe, you know, do it through meditation on the Word of God. And others may do it through, you know, differing ways. So you have to find out what works for you. But in my opinion, we have to do them all. Just because I may not be that good a praiser doesn't mean I should never not praise. Just because I don't like really breaking down the Word of God. Oh, that's so boring. You know, just to take one or two scriptures and just think about them for half hour. Oh, I can't do that. Well, you have to a little bit every now and then. I'm not saying that's your go-to every day, but yeah, meditation in the Word of God does work. You know, and I've even taught this before. If you Google verse mapping, look it up, how you can take a passage and break it down and make it a little more clear to yourself. And I think I've talked about that here in church before. So all these things, you know, work to try to get us so that we're more experienced in the things of God. You know, then it goes down in verse 12 and 14. It says, "Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he maybe see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So that kind of breaks several different key concepts around. Talks about length of days. You know, how long do you want to live, I guess? Do you want to live a long life? Or do you want to live a short life? You know, something to think about. If you want to live longer, we know there's some health things you can do to help yourself, right? There's also some spiritual things you can do. I mean, not only does it say it here about keeping your mouth out of evil, you know, it says keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That means, you know, don't be accusatory and go after other people and speak lies. And the New Testament talks about respecting your parents. That'll help you live a little bit longer. I don't know. Amen? Or oh my. So all these things, I mean, there's several things that can do to help us. And, you know, as you get older, you kind of think about those things. And so what I see is we don't do evil. That's commission. Sin's a commission. You know, try not to go out and just, you know, be an evil person. Don't be vindictive. Forgive. If you can, forget. You know, live the Christian life. And then also, as well as this, it, you know, don't withhold good. That's sins of omission. If we have the power to do good to somebody, we should do that. we should try to make a difference in their life. You know, I've heard an old saying, and I believe it's that true, is what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. The law of sowing and reaping. You know, going out and doing things. Yes, it might, you know, isn't it frustrating when you feel the little leading of God to help somebody who irritates you? Think about that. Maybe you got somebody at work, or maybe you're sitting by somebody. Right now. You know, but the last thing you feel like doing is being a blessing to them. But that's the best thing you could ever do. Because what you're doing is you're putting down that flesh, that old nature that wants self-gratification, and you're actually putting somebody else first. There is reward on the other side of that action. Amen? There's a reward right on the other side of that. And these are kind of things that we can practice. Also, it says to seek peace. That means to really go after it. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. So we need to be a peacemaker in the things of God. I'm going to try to wrap this up here real quick here now. Verse 15 to 18. Here's a good one, unless you're trying to hide something. Anybody here trying to hide something? Don't raise your hand. It says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory from them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saved those who are crushed in spirit. So here we see kind of some things that, other practical ways. You know, God's always on the watch. He's always looking. And there's a scripture in Hebrews that talks about, don't grow weary in doing good. God will, you know, repay you for what you've done. You know, sometimes, yeah, it's a, you know, I'll be honest with you. Some of you have done gardening before, but, you know, you keep planting. You keep planting, and after a while, you just ain't seeing the harvest yet. But that's okay. Don't give up. It's a coming. It's a coming. Just keep sowing. Just keep doing what you know to do, what God tells us in his word. Be faithful to him. God's eyes are always towards the righteous, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says so. It's not based on performance or perfection. It's based on us, our desire to be obedient. Amen. We know we may stumble, but we still want to head towards God. You know, I thought about this the other day. If you're going to fall, fall towards Jesus. Don't fall away. Amen. Fall towards him. Fall towards him. He hears our cries. He knows what we need. Says he's always there when we feel broken and crushed. And we do go through times like that. You know, we make the mistake of only being able to associate with the good time God when we need to learn how to experience the God of all comfort in the bad times. And there's a lot more truth in that than we want to admit. Sometimes we're just good time God people. We're all about the shout. We're all about the praise. Amen. Things are going good. Woohoo, yeah. Yes, 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 amen. And then when the hard times hit, we kind of forget about God. But see, that's when we need him the most. And that's why we don't go by feelings, we go by faith. And the last scripture is verse 19 that we're going to look at today. Just to remind us about what actually is going on in our life. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. You know, these are things you could highlight. All these things I've mentioned today, if you have a highlighter, you ought to highlight them. Don't use a Sharpie, a black magic marker, no. You know, use a highlighter where it actually stands out and you can read them. But see, we're going to go through stuff. We will. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So just because we're serving God all the time doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect life. Anybody who's followed Jesus for a while knows that. Yes, I believe in the overcoming message. The fact that we have to fight the good fight and we just keep pressing through and, you know, don't accept the things from the devil. But that still doesn't negate the fact that sometimes, you know, we're just going to go through stuff. You know, the Bible says that those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. You know, just the way it is. That's just the world we live in. We live in a world that hates us. Why? Because they hate Jesus, so they hate the Jesus that lives inside of us. So even if you're sweet and everybody likes you, they're not going to like you all the time because Jesus lives inside your heart. And the world system hates him. Why? Because he exposes the darkness. When light comes on the scene, darkness must flee. And it feels shame for what it's done. So those things are going to happen. We're going to experience those things. But in all that, we need to thank God that he is our deliverer. He's the one that's going to bring us through. Always remember that God will deliver you through your situation. Amen? Just see it. Hold on to it and believe it. It's going to come to pass. Amen? Let's pray.